This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TKK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
Hey, this morning, would you guys give it up for all of our tech team making the awesome videos and production stuff? Come on. I hope you had a good 4th of July. Anybody, did you have a good 4th of July? Yeah. Anybody? Anybody, were you at one of the parades? Yeah. Thank you so much for all your support. We had an awesome 4th of July at the Baxter Parade and the TK Parade, and we sure hope that you guys had an amazing 4th. Anybody, you shot off fireworks like by yourself. You are the pyrotechnic, and you lit it up. Anybody? So like nobody. It's like we all went and looked at other people's fireworks. That's awesome. Our 4th of July was good. We actually didn't see any fireworks because we have a 4-year-old daughter. And she said, before we went out, she said, you know, Dad, I'm big now, and I'm not afraid anymore. And we heard the first firework off. We didn't even see it. We heard the first one, and immediately she started crying. It was completely a mess, and we thought we need to go home quickly. And so we had a great 4th of July inside watching TV, going to bed early. Someone said amen. Hey, this morning, if you have a Bible, go with me to two different scriptures. If you got a Bible this morning, if you didn't bring one, it's not a big deal. All the words will be up on the screen. But if you brought a Bible this morning, go with me to Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 21. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 21, and then you can make a really, really, really big jump from Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, all the way over to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It's probably on the exact same page, but if you want to write it down, two different scriptures we're going to look at this morning. And in case I haven't got the opportunity to meet you, my name is Brandon, and I am one of the pastors here at our church. Our senior pastor, Pastors Gil and Debbie, for the month of July, you may or may not know this, but they are on a sabbatical. And in case you don't know what a sabbatical is, it's not like a spiritual vacation. They're not in Maui right now. They're not in Fiji. They're not getting facials or massages. A sabbatical, at least how we practice them here at our church, it's a season of separation, really to consecrate yourself more to the Lord. And so for the next number of weeks, really the month of July, the next 4 weeks, Pastor Gil, he has taken some time off. Really to set aside to pray and to fast and seek the Lord for a fuller realization and empowerment of the Holy Spirit so he can lead our church into a next season. Anybody besides for me, you're thankful for a pastor who is willing to separate himself and take time and seasons to lead our church well. Anybody else? And so for the next 4 weeks, I get the opportunity, the privilege of preaching and bringing the Word of God. And as I was thinking about what it is that we would talk about, what it is that we would kind of unpack in the month of July, first of all, I called my dad, Pastor Gil, our senior pastor. I said, hey, Dad, is there anything you want me to preach? Anything that's on your heart? Anything you want me to outline? Anything? He said, no, I just feel that that you can be led by the Lord. And so as I was thinking about what it is that we would kind of talk about and uncover in the month of July, I remembered something that my Bible college teacher told me, Dr. Tatum. I'll never forget Dr. Tatum, a seasoned man of God in the faith, an elderly gentleman, and has so much wisdom. And he taught a number of classes, but the one I remember the most was Ministry of Worship. And really, it was a class on pastoral leadership. And I'll never forget, he said, as you go into ministry and as you're pastoring people, never forget that preaching is really just leading. Preaching is not just talking for inspiration or talking to, you know, come up with cool ideas. Preaching is leading. It's setting course and setting direction. And I was thinking about that and became rather overwhelmed with the opportunity that I have in the month of July to, through preaching, lead our community here at TKK in a certain direction. And I began to ask the Lord, what is it, not that you would want to say, but Lord, what is it that you would want to lead us to do? God, what is the direction you would lead our church to go in the month of July? And with that being said, I want to start a series this morning that I've simply titled this, The Water and the Wilderness. The Water and the Wilderness. And I think it's fitting that as our senior pastor is taking the month of July to separate himself and consecrate himself before the Lord to become more filled with the empowerment of God's presence and God's spirit, that in the same way, you and I would take the month of July and say, God, if our senior pastor is going to press in, we want to press in too. And if our senior pastor is going to go to another level in the spirit, we're going to go to another level as a community in the spirit, so that as he returns in the same stride, in the same cadence, we can step into a new season together. Someone said amen. So the water and the wilderness, a series that I want to start this morning for the month of July, and so excited about it. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 21, if you have your Bible this morning, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. You don't have that version, that's not a big deal, but for continuity's sake, you can follow on the screen. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, it says this: when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 23, now Jesus himself began his ministry about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. I want to read that one more time, those three verses, and I want to point a couple things out before we jump over to Luke chapter 4, reading again from verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens were open. The heaven was open. And verse 22, and the Holy Spirit, someone say the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. One gospel writer writes, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained upon him. That this wasn't just a one-time experience, but the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained, rested upon his life. So the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, the voice of God, saying, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. You are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased. Please. Verse 23, now Jesus quickly transitioned from this moment, and it says, now Jesus himself began his ministry about 30 years of age, and we'll stop right there. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, really quickly, it says this is immediately after he was baptized. I know there's a break in the chapter, but there's not really a break in the scene, so to speak. And it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Someone say wilderness. Into the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. So we read that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And it was kind of an epic scene. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all make a cameo appearance in this one little passage. And as Jesus is being baptized, the heavens are opened, and the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, and the voice of God declares over him, you are my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus gets out of the water, and he transitions into what will be the next season of his life, the season of his ministry. But we see in Luke chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4 that as he transitions, he doesn't transition from the water to a pulpit. He doesn't transition from the water to a public platform. He transitions from the water to the wilderness. Bible says that returning from the Jordan, he's not driven or forced. He's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we're going to read this verse, and then we'll kind of call it quits for scripture reading. But it says this, then Jesus returned, someone say returned. He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and immediately news of him went out through all the surrounding region. So Jesus is baptized, and as he returns filled with the Holy Spirit from the Jordan, he's led into the wilderness. And as he returns from the wilderness, he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and his ministry begins. I'm going to preach a message this morning that I'm simply titling this, really big shocker, I know, but from the water to the wilderness. From the water to the wilderness. And I want to talk this morning about how I believe what God is calling us to as a community is that we transition from the water to the wilderness, that we might come out into a new season of empowerment, that we might be used by God individually and corporately to change and impact and transform the world we've been called to reach. From the water to the wilderness. Would you pray with me? And can we ask that God would use these moments as more than just religious moments of gathering, but to transform our hearts and lives? Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you today for the Bible. And we thank you today that God, you have given us your word to speak to us. And so we're asking today that in these brief moments we share together, that Holy Spirit, you would take the words of God, and you would use them to penetrate our heart. We're asking that every eye, that every ear, that every heart be open today, that you would do what only you can do in our lives, that today we would leave here changed and transformed because of your power. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Have you ever been frustrated at something that you know and you realize is really not that big of a deal? Has ever happened to anybody? Like little things, like you're stuck in traffic, the gas station pump that's open is actually not functioning. Little things that in the grand scheme of life, they really don't matter, but you find yourself frustrated. This past Friday, I got the opportunity, a very, very kind and gracious gentleman in our church invited me and some other people from our church to go play golf. And he's a member at a private country club, at a golf club. And so we got to go and eat lunch and play golf. And I was so excited. Like anybody, do you remember, like as a little kid, when it was Christmas time and like you couldn't sleep because you're so excited for, I was so excited to go play golf because I love golf. And in my excitement for playing golf, I was already thinking about mentally the amazing round of golf I was gonna have. Like keywords in my mind, I'd already like discovered what's wrong with my swing. And in my mind, I knew exactly what I was gonna fix and exactly what I was gonna adjust. And in my mind, all I saw were fairways, greens, and birdies. Fairway, greens, that's all I saw. And I was convinced I'm about to have the round of my life. Transition over to the first tee. As I hook one left off the tee into the woods, I'm quickly reminded that my mind really has nothing to do with my golf swing. And I found myself throughout this round of golf like getting frustrated. And I was trying to hide it. You ever tried to hide your frustration and you think you're doing a good job, but everybody knows that like you're actually not doing a good job at hiding your frustration? What I wanted to do was like throw my golf clubs across the fairway and into the water. And I thought, well, like he did invite Pastor Brandon to go play golf. And I don't know if it would look good if I was throwing clubs on Friday and preaching on Sunday. And so I'm trying to like rein it in. And the moment I knew I was not doing a good job, this very, very gracious, kind gentleman who took us to play golf, he comes over and puts his hand on my shoulder and says, hey man, are you having fun? And I knew in that moment, it's all over my face. Like I'm trying to be like, no, I love golf. Bogeys are awesome. They're the best. And internally, I'm like, I want to throw my golf clubs and jump in the lake right now. And I start thinking, why is it that I'm so frustrated? Like I know like golf is not life. And it's so silly. It's a dumb little game. Like, why is this so impacting my emotions? Why am I so frustrated? And I quickly realized I'm frustrated because there was a really short season of my life before we had kids where I actually got to play a lot of golf. And because I got to play a lot of golf, I never got like really good, but I got pretty good at golf. And so now when I go play golf, it's frustrating because I know in my mind what my potential could be. And my current experience not meeting up with the potential I could be experiencing, it creates a frustration. And isn't that true in every area of life? That when you know what your actual potential is, and yet you find yourself underachieving, underperforming, it creates this underlying tension or frustration. This thing that I don't know how to explain it, I don't know what it is, but just internally, I'm tweaked. And it's because you know there is a gap, there's a discrepancy in who you could be and who you are, in what you could be doing and what you're actually doing in reality. Recently, I started experiencing a little bit of this frustration in my relationship with God and in following Jesus. And it's this frustration of realizing that I'm underperforming or underfunctioning in the potential that is upon my life in relationship to God. Now, really quickly, before you think that I'm talking about any kind of like material success or gain or achievement or accolade, or maybe even before you think that I'm talking about like my performance in doing good and doing bad, I want to read you a scripture and help to give you context for what I mean by I know that I'm under-functioning or underperforming. John 14, 12, it should be on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Would be a great scripture to write down, but John 14, 12, Jesus says this. He says, most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, I don't know if you read what I just read and if you fully comprehended what we just read, but for maybe the sake of getting us on the same page, let me read one more time. Jesus says, most assuredly. In other words, hey guys, this is gonna sound absolutely ridiculous, but I'm telling the truth, like no lie. Most assuredly, I say to you that whoever believes in me, whoever simply has put their faith and their belief and their trust in me, the works that I do, they will do also. And actually even greater works they will do because I go to my Father. Now, really quick poll. There's no pressure whatsoever. It's not a trick question. But real quick, by show of hands, would you raise your hand this morning if you believe in Jesus? Okay, so that's a pretty strong number right there. So Jesus said that anybody who simply believes in me, the things that I am doing, they will do also. What is it that Jesus did? Well, Jesus, let's start here. He preached the gospel. And I don't mean like a really weak, awkward, out of obligation invitation to a church service. Jesus, with authority and power, he proclaimed the good news of himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no life besides from him, that he's the only way to the Father. He preached with authority the gospel. He healed the sick. I don't mean like someone puts on Facebook really struggling and you go, oh, thinking about you. No, like he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. People that were blind, people who had been struggling with issues for years, Jesus, with authority and power, he healed the sick and raised the dead. Jesus spoke prophetically. Jesus, being in tune with the Father through the Holy Spirit, he would read people's mail. And he would say things in season, in time. He spoke with authority. Jesus had 12 guys. He had a crew that were with him. And they didn't just like hang out. His circle wasn't just like what he did socially. He actually changed the circle that God had given him, and he discipled them and raised them up and trained them. Then Jesus sent them out, and they began to change the world. Jesus left an impact on this earth that has forever changed the course of time and history. He was a vessel of righteousness and honor and humility who served and was used by God. Jesus lived a life that, because of it, things will never be the same. Yet Jesus said, the things that I do, if you believe in me, you should be doing those too. You know what's interesting is that in the book of Acts, that when people preached the gospel, they didn't just like tell them about Jesus, but the Bible says that what accompanied the gospel and verified its authenticity and reality was the signs of the miraculous. That Peter could say, hey, I don't really have any money. What I do have is this message that Jesus has come to rescue and save and reconcile the world to himself. And to show you that this is true, go ahead and stand up. Now when I look at my life and I compare it to the life of Jesus, let's just take it back a level. When I look at my life and I compare it to the book of Acts and the ministry of Jesus through the Acts of the Apostles, there is a discrepancy, to say the least. And you may be here this morning, you may say, well, Brandon, that's not Like that's not really me though. Like it doesn't really wholly apply to me because I'm not like super serious about following God. And even if I was, like that's totally not me. Well, I will agree with you and disagree with you. I will disagree with you that this verse is not applicable and is not speaking to you because the verse doesn't say anyone who's really serious about God and went through discipleship, reads their Bible every single day, and prays for 3 hours. No, it says anybody who believes in me, that anyone who's put their faith in me, that anybody who's made a decision to say, you know, I don't know everything, but I do know that Jesus has forever changed my life, and I'm that anyone who believes. So this is talking to you and I. However, where I will agree with you is that you and I, we really can't do this, can we? At least not in our own power and our own ability. In John 14, 12, I think that sometimes we can read that verse and we can get really lost and really caught up in this challenging, eye-opening thought of the works that I do, you'll do also. And we get so caught up in that part that we miss what are actually, I think, the most critical words of that scripture. John 14, 12, I wanna read it one more time. John 14, 12, it says this. It says, most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. And we go, whoa, so challenging. That's crazy. Wow, could never do that. And we missed the most critical part of the verse. The most critical part of the verse, in my opinion, are the last couple words in John 14, 12, where he says, because I go to my Father. What does that mean? John 16, 7, Jesus kind of uncovers what that means. I'll read it to you. John 16, 7, it says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. You do realize, right, that Jesus couldn't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit. That just because he was the Son of God doesn't mean he had like Son of God superpowers. He was in every way like you and I, humanity. And the only reason he had the ability to do the things that he did is because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is why, and we'll go here in a minute, but this is why the ministry of Jesus does not start until after Luke chapter 4, verse 14, because it's not until Luke chapter 4, verse 14 that Jesus is walking in the power of the Spirit. It's only because of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said to his disciples, he said, guys, I know you're kind of freaking out right now because I'm leaving. And I totally get it. You quit your job. You sold everything you had. You've been following me. We've been talking about how like this kingdom is going to shake the earth. And now I'm leaving. And you're like, wait a minute. Was this a pyramid scheme? Was this like the juicer I bought at 3 a.m.? Like, is this what? He said, you're kind of freaking out because I'm leaving. He said, but it's actually to your advantage that I go away. Because better than me, think about this, better than me standing next to you, if I go to my Father, I'm gonna send you the Holy Spirit that has filled my life. And better than me standing next to you, you will have the empowerment of God's Spirit within you. This is why in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he says, guys, please, like, don't go and don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Because Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's only when, someone say when, it's only when the Holy Spirit has come upon you that you will be empowered to do the things I'm asking you to do. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. You and I, yeah, on my best day, I can't do it. I can't live like, look like, minister like Jesus, but because of the Holy Spirit that God has promised, the same Holy Spirit that filled the life of Jesus, I have in him the ability to do the works that Jesus did and even greater. Somebody said amen. So here's the big question. So how is it that I live this life of power? And I'd like to propose to you that the answer to that question is found in Luke chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4. See, because Luke chapter 3, what we read, Jesus' baptism, is in a lot of ways actually symbolic of you and I's salvation. Let's think about this real quick. Jesus, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And when he's baptized by John the Baptist, baptism we know is symbolic of death to my old life, new life in Christ. This is why we get baptized when we're saved, because we are declaring publicly, I've died to my old life and I'm now a new creation in Christ. And so Jesus is baptized, symbolic of you and I, when we make a decision, say, you know what, I'm dead to the old me, but I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that when he comes out of the water, that the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. Did you know that when you were saved, the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit descended upon you? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, that he is the seal of our salvation. He's the one who within our soul cries and declares, Abba, Father, and testifies that we are the children of God. And in the same way that Jesus was baptized, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit filled him, and the voice of God spoke to him, you are my son, and in you, someone say, in you I am well pleased. Did you know that in the same way that when you were saved on that day, that not only like Jesus did you go from death to a brand new life in him, and not only did the Holy Spirit seal you, but because the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, the voice of God spoke over you, you are my son, you are my daughter, and in you I am well pleased. It's not because of anything you've done or anything you haven't done. It's not because of your merit or accolade, but because you've put your faith and your trust in Christ, God speaks over you, you are my son, you are my daughter, and in you I am well pleased. This was and is for you and I a moment of identity. This is a moment where we find who we are in Christ. This is a moment where we realize our true identity and we realize, oh yeah, I'm not the old me anymore, but I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in him. And yeah, that's right. God does love me. And I'm not just me. I'm a son of the Most High God. And not because of me, because of Jesus. He is well pleased with me. So it's a moment of identity. But if you read in Luke chapter 3, there's a transition. Jesus doesn't just soak in the water. He doesn't say, you know what? The water is amazing. Hey, throw me the rubber ducky floaty. Just bring me a sparkling water. We're going to chill right here. No, there's a transition. And he transitions from a moment of identity into a season and a pathway to destiny. This is why it's only after Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, the Bible says that then he began his ministry. And we already said this, but it's worth repeating again, that the pathway and the road to destiny wasn't from the water to a pulpit. It wasn't from the water to a platform and from the water to being a public figure. It was from the water to the wilderness. That his transition from identity to destiny was a transition from the water to the wilderness. The Bible says, knowing who he was, knowing who you are in Christ, that he returns from the Jordan and the Holy Spirit doesn't lead him this way or that way. The Holy Spirit leads him to keep walking straight into the wilderness. What is the wilderness? Symbolically for you and I, the wilderness, we can think about it this way. It's separation and sometimes even isolation that is for the purpose of consecration. The wilderness are seasons and times where God begins to speak to you and God begins to separate you. God begins to close the door and to hem you in and lead you into seasons of separation and what may even feel like isolation for the purpose of consecration. Jesus goes into the wilderness being led by the Holy Spirit for 40 days and for 40 nights. He's fasting before the Lord and he is with God 40 days in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, that when he comes out of the wilderness, that he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this real quick. Jesus went into the water. And when he went into the water, he came out of the water knowing who he was. This was a moment of identity. And he came out of the water, and think about this, he went into the wilderness filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's pause right here. Let's say it this way. He went into the wilderness filled with the potential for his ministry. He went into the wilderness filled with the potential to do everything God was asking him to do. But it was in the wilderness that potential turned into power. It was in the wilderness that potential transformed into power. And he came out of the water filled with the Holy Spirit, led into the wilderness filled with the Spirit. But the Bible says in Luke 4:14 that he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Because he had a great social media team? Because he had like a great tour plan? No, because there was something on his life. Because there was anointing on his life. Because the power of God's hand had touched him. And there was an empowerment that happened that immediately his ministry began and it began to explode. And news of him went out all through the region. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember reading this years ago, and I remember God speaking this to me so clearly. Brandon, you will never be able to come out in power until you are willing to go in through obedience. The Holy Spirit didn't force Jesus, but Jesus was yielded. He was obedient, and he came from the water and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And something happened in the wilderness. Something happened in a season of separation and isolation and consecration before the Lord that potential turned into power. That what he went in with, filled with the Holy Spirit, that something happened and he came out in the power of God's Spirit and was able to do the things that God was calling him to do. Can I tell you this morning, God has a bigger plan for your life than you have given him credit for. God wants to use you in a bigger way than you're giving yourself credit for. God has more significant plans for your destiny than you've even recognized and realized. But what happens is there's the gap from our potential and where we currently are. And so we get frustrated, we get discouraged, and we undervalue and underestimate scriptures like John 14:12. I know that's what the Bible says, but I mean, to me, though, you know, like, so great scripture for maybe like really spiritual people, but why? It's because you see a gap from your potential to where you should be or where God's calling you to, and that gap creates frustration that causes us to just, well, it is what it is. I'm telling you this morning, I feel so stirred that God is calling us as a community, individually and corporately. He is calling us into the wilderness. God is calling us to say, God, yes, we will be led by your Spirit, and we will, through obedience, go into a season of separation and consecration that we may be empowered by your Spirit to realize the fullest potential of what you've called us to do. Maybe three thoughts this morning very quickly, because I just looked at the time and we got to go. Three points really quickly. Point number one, if you're taking notes, the reason the water of the wilderness is a big deal. Number one, write this down, because it's from the water to the wilderness that progress is made. You want to make progress in relationship with God? You want to make progress in becoming the husband God's called you to be becoming the father God wants you to be? You want to make progress in the calling of God on your life? You want to make progress? Progress always happens from the water to the wilderness. But so often, isn't this so true that we love the water? Oh man, I just loved that service last week. Ooh, worship was so good. I think we sang every love song that's ever been written in worship. And Pastor Gil preached a message about how I'm a child of God and I'm loved and I'm awesome. And we're like, yeah, the water's awesome. But then we start feeling that prompting on the inside. Hey, but there's more that I want to do with your life. And it starts leading us and nudging us and bringing us into seasons of wilderness. And oftentimes, because the Holy Spirit, remember, he's a gentleman. He's not gonna force himself. He leads us gently. Oftentimes what we go is, nah, like I'm not really a hiker. I'm not really into camping. REI is not really my scene. And so I'm comfortable in the water. What we don't realize is that we're limiting the potential and progress that we could actually make in being the people God wants us to be and seeing the things that God wants to see, because it's only from the water to the wilderness that progress happens. Can I ask you this morning, what is it that God is leading you to separate yourself from? It might not be bad, it might not be evil, It might not be something that's necessarily a negative thing, but what is it that you've just felt on the inside, a stirring and a leading that God, I think he wants me to separate myself. Is it a relationship? Is it a hobby? Is it a habit? Is it a mindset? Maybe God's calling you like Jesus into a season of fasting and prayer. What is it God's leading you in? Because it's only when we're yielded to the leading of the Spirit of God to say, I love the water, but God's got something for me. And I know that the water's awesome, the water's great, but he's leading me. Can I tell you, this is real for me because I've known for probably a couple months that God, he's speaking to me, he's leading me. Hey, Brandon, there is more that I have for your life. And you need to, at a deeper level, be fasting and praying. And fasting and praying is cool, but eating and watching SportsCenter is better and easier to my flesh. And I was studying, going over this morning, and I just felt the Holy Spirit remind me, hey, you know this is for you too, right? Because there's a whole nother level of potential for your calling and for your ministry, but it's gonna require you going into the wilderness. Number two, you can write this down. In the wilderness is where power is received. Yeah, Jesus was filled in the water, but potential turned to power in the wilderness. You know, being empowered by God, we have to position ourselves to say, God, before you can do something through me, oh, you need to do something in me. And so I'm yielding, I'm submitted through obedience to separation and consecration because God, I wanna be empowered by you. I wanna be a pure and a clean vessel that you can use for your honor. Number three, you can write this down and we'll close with this. That in the wilderness, from the water to the wilderness, is where revival begins. Don't get me wrong. I love all the things that we're doing as a church. 4th of July parade was awesome and I had so much fun. And I Love My City shirts are rad. And the scavenger hunt we're doing, like you should do it. Like it's a lot of fun. And programs and events and opportunities, they're awesome. But hear me, revival doesn't begin in programs, it begins within. Before God can do something through us, church, God has to do a deep work within us. Revival begins on the inside. It starts in the wilderness. See, we can read Luke chapter 4, verse 14, be like, yeah, he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about right there. I'm gonna go out tomorrow and I'm gonna be full of power. But what you don't realize is that Luke 4, 14 is where revival is maybe realized, the beginning stages of it, but that's not where it started. Revival started when Jesus said, yes, I will get out of the water. And I'll be led into the wilderness. I'm telling you, I am so stirred. God has more for our church. And when I say that, don't be like, yeah, like organization. No. We are the church. The church is not a building. The church is not programs. We are the church. God has more for our lives. He's got more for you individually. He's got more for us corporately. I believe in the days to come, we will hear a sound go out from this place, from Lakeshore Christian Fellowship, that will shake the earth, that will reach people, that will leave an impact like Jesus left. But first, we must be yielded and willing to be led into the wilderness. I don't know about you. I'm hungry for revival. I'm hungry for God to do something greater in my life than what I'm seeing right now. I'm hungry to be a part of a church that's not just a Sunday morning gathering, but it's a move of God. I heard someone this past week, and I'll say this and then I'm done, that they said a lot of people are tricked into thinking that churches on the earth today that are making a huge impact, that it's because of their organization and their planning and their programming. The anointing is never in programming and planning and organization. There's value in that, but only because it channels the flow of God's Spirit. But he said what people don't realize is the anointing, it's always on the people. It's always on the pastors. It's always on the leaders. It's always on the people. And because the people have been yielded to the anointing of God, God's using them. And people go, whoa, if we could just have like a sound like Hillsong, whoa, that would really change. But no, it wouldn't. It's the anointing upon our life. And I'm asking you, I am not the senior pastor of this church. I am not in any way in a position to go, we're gonna do this, but I'm asking you, would you join me in saying, God, we wanna be used by you in a greater way. God, we know you have more for our church and more for our lives. And would you join me in yielding yourself and saying, God, wherever you lead me, I'll go. I know the wilderness isn't fun and it's not comfortable and it's not the most Instagrammable thing that I can do, but God, I want to be filled with your power. You are filled with the potential, but potential turns to power in the wilderness. Would you stand up on your feet this morning? Can we pray together? With every head bowed and every eye closed, God, we thank you today for the power of the Word of God. And we're asking you in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit, you would take these words and you would do more with them than we could ever do ourselves. That you would take scriptures like John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you that if you believe in me, there's the potential to do the works that I do in grace. God, would those become real to us? And I pray over our church right now that you would stir up a hunger and an appetite for a move of God. Would Lakeshore be a church that's hungry to be used by God, that's hungry to see a move of God come out of this place? And we're asking you all across this place that, Lord, you would open every one of our eyes and our ears to know the wilderness you're leading us into. For everyone, it may be different. For everyone, it may be unique and individual. But God, help us to see the wilderness that you're leading us into, that we may go from the water to the wilderness and experience the empowerment of your Spirit and be who you've called us to be and do what you've called us to do and impact and reach a people who are hurting and broken and dying and need the gospel. God, if we don't go, who will? You're calling us. So we thank you for it and we ask you that you would continue the work you're doing this morning. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.